Speaker. Madam Speaker, this morning I feel myself in a typical position in that I am actually opening the batting on the second day, especially as today we witness the prestigious World Cup semi-finals being played in Jamaica. Madam Speaker, while I recognize the influence that globalization has had on our economy, I am now convinced that the statement which I made in the last budget debate, which quoted that negative internal influences can play a greater role in destroying our economy as against the advent of globalization. I made that statement, Madam Speaker, because around that time, when I debated the bad economic performance by the previous government in this house, Madam Speaker, there was always an excuse, Madam Speaker, and the Prime Minister always referred to globalization and the 9/11 tragedy which happened in the United States. Today, Madam Speaker, I would like to continue to emphasize that if we are to ensure economic stability and prosperity, we must strengthen our internal affairs, be it in agriculture, tourism, or any other sector. The country's scarce resources must be managed effectively, and our government must ensure that the total recurrent expenditure is financed by the revenue collected through taxes in every given fiscal year. Madam Speaker, that was the first achievement of this budget. The second positive achievement of this budget, as against previous budgets of the last administration, is that for the first time in the last 5 previous budgets presented before this Honorable House, we have seen a reduction in recurrent expenditure as compared to the previous years. Madam Speaker, I would like to refer to the financial summary taken from the estimates of the past 5 years so that I can indicate to you a trend which I believe that this budget has addressed. In the fiscal year 2002-2003, recurrent expenditure was estimated at $492,814,068, while recurrent revenue was estimated at $473,131,247. The year 2003-2004 marked an increase in estimated recurrent expenditure by $19,752,891. There was an increase in recurrent expenditure. Over the previous year, Madam Speaker, the year before, to a total of $512,566,959, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, the increase in recurrent expenditure continued in the following year, and there was an increase by $34 million as compared to the previous year. So you realize the trend, Madam Speaker. Every year, what you had was an increase in recurrent expenditure. This year's budget, Madam Speaker, realized a decrease in estimated recurrent expenditure over the previous year. The previous year, Madam Speaker, was $700,060,015. In 2006-2007, Madam Speaker, the estimated recurrent expenditure is $696,500,000, a decrease. Madam Speaker, the important notation about what is happening there is that this government, in the first year, in preparing the budget, was able to reduce the recurrent expenditure. Therefore, Madam Speaker, giving the country the opportunity to get additional revenue to invest in areas, Madam Speaker, that are more productive. Madam Speaker, I know that the decrease is one that is small, but it's a great achievement. Because what has happened there, Madam Speaker, it is clear that the current government have realized that the trend cannot continue. When are we going to stop? At the rate we are increasing over 10% Madam Speaker, as it refers to the total recurrent expenditure every year. That was what was happening. And so the current government has marked a significant achievement by not only, Madam Speaker, cutting it down, but by also, Madam Speaker, creating an opportunity for this country to get additional revenue, as I said before, to invest in productive areas. Madam Speaker, the Prime Minister made a fundamental observation. And in simple terms, he indicated the lack of proper distribution of wealth and economic activities around the country. And you know, if members in here can recall, I always warned the former administration that there were a lot of things happening which were bad, especially in the way the economic activities would diversify. We had a problem in the banana industry. And so you had areas like Denry North, Fozel, Soufre, and even Bagano, Madam Speaker, actually suffering from the fact that production and revenue decreased in the banana industry. And what happened? What did the government do to assist, Madam Speaker, in the shortfall of revenue and in the shortfall of employment in these areas? This government, Madam Speaker, will work hard to ensure that economic activities will be increased and spread over the entire island by one, modernizing agriculture and diversifying its economic activities. The development of an agricultural complex to house a dairy and abattoir at Bosseju in Viewport is a very good idea. Minister of Health, Minister of Agriculture. It will encourage the development of well-planned marketing and packaging strategies for the livestock sector. So you know, Madam Speaker, the development of the dairy, Madam Speaker, and the abattoir is not something that is just thrown out of the window. It is planned, Madam Speaker. We must diversify the economy, the agricultural economy, especially the agricultural economy. And how are we going to do that? We are going to do that, Madam Speaker, by concentrating on the development of livestock. And we are not just sending the farmers out there wildly in terms of just allowing them to go ahead into that sort of business, Madam Speaker. We are preparing the platform. We are serving as a catalyst in government, Madam Speaker, that would assist their survival. Madam Speaker, it is no miracle that the emphasis has been placed on the development of agriculture. In any country, it is important that its natural resources are utilized to the fullest and properly managed. In this financial year, it is expected for exports and productivity in agricultural products to increase, especially since the Minister of Agriculture has indicated that the concentration will be on the farmers receiving most of the incentives which will be available for the agriculture industry. The announcement, Madam Speaker, by the Honorable Prime Minister to subsidize the banana boxes by $1 is welcome. By a dollar is welcome. Madam Speaker, in simple terms, a farmer who produces 5,000 boxes a year would be able to save $5,000 a year, thus increasing his savings and spending power. The new vision for agriculture, which is to strengthen the banana industry, improve on marketing and research for agricultural products, will have a real positive effect on our economy. That is the new vision. We must strengthen our ability to research and to do marketing, proper marketing, Madam Speaker. And I think the last government, that was one of the areas they lacked in, Madam Speaker. This new form of agriculture, Madam Speaker, or the new innovation in the agricultural industry, will allow for our youth to have an opportunity to be employed, thus having a positive social effect on our communities. And listen to that. I talk about employment, and in the same breath, Madam Speaker, I am saying that it will have a positive social effect on our communities. Because you know, Madam Speaker, for the longest time in this house, we have been debating as to whether the lack of employment actually affects or causes an increase in crime, or it assists in the criminal activities, in that most of our youth, Madam Speaker, or 15% are shown in the record of our youth are unemployed. And therefore, the government, this present government, have realized that one of the ways, Madam Speaker, of releasing the social tension is to create employment. And how are we going to do that? We're going to do it through agriculture. And it's no miracle, as I said before, that we are planning to do it for agriculture. I said it before, that is the natural resource we have, the soil, arable land. What are we going to do? Allow the land to just stay there, Madam Speaker, and nothing is happening? No, we cannot allow that to happen. So the government is going to ensure that the arable land is put into good use, Madam Speaker. And we are going to do that, as I told you, through a new innovative plan for agriculture. Madam Speaker, when you strengthen your agricultural industry, especially in a country like St. Lucia, when you assist your family in the right direction, not by just spending anyhow, Madam Speaker, because, you know, over the years, over the past 2-3 years, I've been acquainted with some very big sums which have been spent in the agricultural industry. Like the Minister of Agriculture said, we are going to target the farmers in any form of assistance. You know, I alluded to that sometime in my last budget, Madam Speaker, and I warned that a lot of the funding in this country in the previous government, a lot of the funding which this government received, whether it is from the EU, whether it is from loans, Madam Speaker, it was spent too much in administrative procedures. So I recognize that the Minister of Agriculture and myself and the colleagues across it, we are on the right trend. We must target the farmers. They must feel the effect of any funding, especially from the EU. They must feel the effect of any funding, whether the government decides to take loans, Madam Speaker, or the government is to get assistance from anywhere around the world, Madam Speaker. They are the ones that must feel the effect. Madam Speaker, agriculture, I believe, and I've been saying this in this house for the longest while, can do something which is very significant, especially to the economy and the budget, and any budget, Madam Speaker. Agriculture can assist in the balance of trade. It can assist in two ways, Madam Speaker. Because, you know, I have argued in this house that with small economies like St. Lucia, and I'll say it again, with small economies like St. Lucia, taxation policies, no matter how hard you try, cannot bring economic prosperity or even change the direction of your economy. You cannot do it, Madam Speaker. What can change the direction of your economy? What can strengthen the direction of your economy is the balance of trade through agriculture. And how are you going to use agriculture to assist you in balancing your trade? Agriculture, as we know, in this country has assisted St. Lucia in its export. Because if you are a country, Madam Speaker, and all you're doing is importing, and not exporting, you know what's happening? All your revenue is going, Madam Speaker, your revenue goes out. And once that starts happening in a country, then you're in trouble. And that is what the last government failed to address. They failed to address it, Madam Speaker. I told the Prime Minister, I can recall the former Prime Minister, sorry, that if I was in his position, around that time, he was saying that he was not going to do anything in the banana industry, and he was on his way to privatize the industry. I warned him about the privatization. I told him the privatization will bring greediness into this industry. And that is exactly what happened. It brought greediness, not competition. There can be no competition. Our goods have been sold in England. And then you have the Minister of Agriculture talked about a number of companies. You have a number of companies competing with each other in St. Lucia. There's a bottleneck because all these very same companies are selling to one company, which is Vibeco. So why did the former government create an environment that would allow a number of companies to come in and compete with each other? What are they competing for? the services. They were just competing for the services, the little services that are available for the farmers in St. Lucia, when one company could have done that. With the advent of technology, Madam Speaker, all you need is about 5 persons to man the entire banana industry in St. Lucia. 5 persons to man the administrative section of the entire banana industry. And I'm serious about it. Yeah? 5 persons. With the advent to administer the administrative aspect of the banana industry. What you have now in the banana industry? You have about 6 companies with 6 managers, 6 accountants, paying audit firms to audit them. That do not make sense. You know, that really do not make sense. And that is the reason why the present government is on the other side. But Madam Speaker, I cannot continue to criticize them because, you know, it's a wonderful budget. And I think the Prime Minister gave us the opportunity to debate the things he's hoping to achieve in the budget. And I will stick to that, Madam Speaker. That's okay. I'll stick to it. Madam Speaker, so it is clear that now the mantle is on the present government to show a difference. And we are showing a difference already, as I told you before, by one, not only just concentrating on one area of agriculture, but diversifying agriculture. You know, when I heard the Minister of Agriculture talked about an abattoir and the dairy, I was amazed, Madam Speaker. I wondered why it took so long in this House, Madam Speaker, to have plans, such innovative plans, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, so agriculture will assist in the balancing of your trade. The other area, apart from exports, is that with agriculture, you can eat what you grow. And you can also supply to your local market. The local market, especially the hotels, that engage in a lot of importation of agricultural products. You know, I have a lot of confidence, Madam Speaker, in the present Minister of Agriculture. Because once he's taken that direction, and I've heard plans to reorganize the marketing board, I am certainly sure, Madam Speaker, that he and the current government will place emphasis on marketing. And the first place to market, Madam Speaker, is in your own country. The first place to market is in your own country. We are not going to do like what the past government did by encouraging the importation of agricultural products from Guyana. We are going to encourage, Madam Speaker, the production of local agricultural produce in St. Lucia, so that St. Lucians can gain employment, and at the same time, Madam Speaker, we too can produce for the hotels, Madam Speaker, who import a lot in this country. Madam Speaker, the reorganization of the marketing board will allow for the marketing board to engage in a number of initiatives. One, they will have to, for sure, do exactly what they are set to do, to market. You know, I cannot understand how you have a marketing board, and I know the Minister of Agriculture spoke about that, and I was very impressed, because I believe the time has come for us to stop that kind of thing, where we are subsidizing or allowing the marketing board to have duty-free concessions on fruit and products. Madam Speaker, if we are serious in this country, the marketing board must play its full role, and that is to assist the farmers in marketing their products, to assist the farmers in understanding the new market available to them. That's supposed to be the role of the marketing board. So if the hotels are looking for a certain standard, Madam Speaker, then it would be the duty of the marketing board to teach the farmers, to show, to help them understand and meet the standards of the hotel. If the regional market, it is the duty of the marketing board, together with the Ministry of Agriculture, to assist the farmers to understand the direction of marketing and the direction of how they're supposed to produce and the qualities they're supposed to produce. And so, I know, Madam Speaker, when the changes would come about, that we would see an improvement in the quality, an improvement in the forecasting of how the farm when and how the farmers are supposed to produce. And that is very important. Because as I told you before, I'm not just talking about agriculture because I'm representing the constituency of Denry North. I'm talking about agriculture. Because, Madam Speaker, when you look at your country, your small island, and that's the first thing in any economy a government would do. Look at this country. Look at the natural resources available. Look at the human resources available. When you look at the natural resources available, you would realize the way forward is to develop our agriculture. That is basic. And so I do not understand why banana production fell to such a low level, Madam Speaker. I do not understand. Up to now, I don't understand that. And why the former government even encouraged the importation of agricultural products from places like Guyana, when you have so many young persons unemployed. So it's not just about talking about agriculture. It's about thinking of your balance. It's about thinking as to how to balance your trade. It's about employment. It's about the social effect on this country, which agriculture can have. It can have a positive effect, Madam Speaker, by creating employment in this country. But you know, Madam Speaker, every time I talk about the banana industry and agriculture, you know, oh my God, it was like, why, you know, why, you know, like I was in a different world, Madam Speaker. But I knew I was in the right world. I knew I was in the right world, Madam Speaker. And hence the reason why, Madam Speaker, today, instead of suggesting and at times opposing, I am now proposing and ready to put my plans and my government plans in action. No, 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 no. You remember, you call, you know. So, Madam Speaker, that is the direction. You know, that is serious business in this house, Madam Speaker. And you know me well. I don't come in this house, Madam Speaker, to... I come here, Madam Speaker, and the only reason why I am in this house is because I recognize that St. Lucia needs the assistance. And not me alone too, Madam Speaker. Our current Prime Minister, the only reason why he's in this house today is because he recognized that St. Lucia needs the assistance of men of goodwill and understanding. If everything was well, if everything was well, like the way the United Workers Party left this country, today I would not be in the South. Trust me on that one. I would be relaxing somewhere by the beach, Madam Speaker. You know, running my IT company. That's what I would be doing. But you know, the economic situation in this country declined so rapidly. No, that is true. No evidence. When I started, I clearly indicated that one of the major problems in this country was how the former administration, how they spread the economic activity. That was what I said. So even though, Madam Speaker, every year you realize a growth in the economy, and you know, all the speakers before me have spoken about that, and I don't want to go over that. If you realize a growth, the Prime Minister spoke, he talked about the fact that most of the wealth is concentrated in one area of the country. These are things you have to listen to. That was what I was asking from the former Prime Minister. I told him that you have to be a great leader. And that was what the former Prime Minister was lacking. And you can trust me on that, Madam Speaker. I told him that. You know, great leaders, Madam Speaker, talk about the distribution of wealth. They are concerned about the distribution of wealth. They are concerned about equality. These are the hallmarks of great leaders. You know, not to just boast about the economic growth. Economic growth and the people, the banana industry is declining. You know, poverty is increasing. You know, and if the banana industry was declining, you know, factual, you know, if the banana industry in certain areas in St. Lucia or in the entire economy was declining and there was a comprehensive plan, it could be in any other area, that would not only allow for the growth in this country, but that would allow the economic wealth to spread in a way that those persons who were worst hit or who felt the I call it a disaster of the banana industry would have gotten assistance in the other area, Madam Speaker, then I would not have a problem with that. But what has happened today? And you know, I mean, every country should welcome when a government decides to engage itself in some form of employment for its people. You know, every country would be happy. For example, when you had the STEP program, I told the Prime Minister around that time, I can recall that very clearly, Madam Speaker, I told the Prime Minister, I did not have a problem with the STEP program in the initial stages. Because the excuse, what he said around that time, was that he was introducing the STEP program so that it could have served as a cushion to assist in those areas where you had a shortfall in banana production, so you could have assist in creating employment while he thought of other areas to increase employment. But what happened, Madam Speaker? After 9 years, the past administration could not have come up, Madam Speaker, with new productive areas of employment for the people in these areas. So what are you going to do? Are you going to extend your budget or your country every year, Madam Speaker, by spending on STEP? This is not the vision of this government. And that's one of the areas where my current Prime Minister and myself, we walk hand in hand, Mr. Speaker, on that area. Because I always say in that house that the former Prime Minister did not just develop agriculture because he had a liking for agriculture.
He developed it from the vision, he said, to assist in spreading economic activities. Because if you have Rosile, you have Castries is the capital, what are you going to do in January? What are you going to do in Miko? So you must come up with a device, an economic device, that would allow you to spread your economic wealth and activities. So that is what, it's very serious business. And all the time it was like a joke, while I realized, all the time we were here joking, and the banana industry was going down. The young people in the rural areas were leaving, coming to the towns. Then you have social problems happening, social tension, crime increasing. That is exactly what happened, Madam Speaker. So now, we are planning to correct that. We are planning to correct that. And again, by doing certain things, Madam Speaker. Because you see, when you invest in, there are two forms of investment. You can, simple. There's a direct and indirect investment, which can impact tremendous on people's lives. I believe, short-term and long-term investment. I believe the previous government went for the short-term and direct investment on people's lives, which would have a short span of productivity in this country. But with this new government, we realize that if we are to spread the economic wealth, if we are to spread the economic activities of this country, Madam Speaker, there must be some new ideas. Look at St. Lucia today. You have a road from Castries to Beaufort, and that is it. But the new government now has decided, and I think the previous government did a study on that, to spend its time and resources, Madam Speaker, to see if it would be feasible to build a road from Babono to Lakai. It's not just about building a road. It's not just about building a stadium to boast that we have a stadium. And at the end of the day, the stadium is not qualified it's not up to Olympic standard or whatever. Okay? And it's not just about boasting and building a road. It's when you decide, because you see, when your government and the people of the country give you the opportunity or the mandate, whatever it is, so that you could tax them, Madam Speaker, you must do it right when they are taxed. And so from the taxation must come prudent expenditure, Madam Speaker, prudent expenditure, prudent spending, and prudent investment. So that the investment you are doing is not deliberate. Just because you want to boast about the investment. The investment, when you are given the authority, Madam Speaker, to spend the money of any given country, your investment must be right. And the intention must be to improve the lives of the people living in the country. And hence the reason why the Prime Minister spoke about the road from Babono to Lakai. Because it is clear, Madam Speaker, with the development of the tourism industry, we'll need some more space for development. It is clear. That is the way St. Lucia is going. So it is clear that we'll need space for development. It is clear, Madam Speaker, with the congestion in the north, there must be some other avenue to relieve the congestion in the north, Madam Speaker. And so while
you assist in relieving their congestion. We, the current government, has also taken into consideration how the project is going to impact on the lives of St. Lucians. And you know how it's going to impact on the lives of St. Lucians, Madam Speaker? Indirectly. Indirectly. Long-term. Long-term investment. Which, as soon as the road is built, Madam Speaker, you're going to feel the effect of economic distribution and economic expansion. And these were the types of investments I expected from the former administration, but it never happened, Madam Speaker. You know, I know it's very difficult, Madam Speaker. You have to be very disciplined like me, Madam Speaker, to really move in that direction. Because it's tough, you know. After winning elections, you're in a situation where most of your persons in the constituency and in the country talk about they are not working and so on. But Madam Speaker, they voted for you. They placed their trust in you. And you are the one that needs now to share your vision with them so that they can understand and work hand in hand with your vision to achieve exactly what they want: economic prosperity, jobs. And that is what we are doing today. So, Madam Speaker, I will be working closely with the Ministry of Agriculture to ensure that the farmers of St. Lucia and the Tenrin of Basin can benefit from the changes that will be taking place in the agricultural industry. For the longest while, Madam Speaker, all I am hearing in the House, agriculture, there was a day I heard banana dead, all kinds of arguments on bananas and agriculture, and it is too difficult because our cost of production is too high. You know, that was what I was saying. Today I am hearing, I don't know, Madam Speaker, all of a sudden in this House, globalization has disappeared. All of a sudden, Sir John Walken, globalization disappeared. I really don't understand that. I do not understand his magic hand. Globalization disappeared. Not in one statement, Madam Speaker, no serious business. Not in one statement by the current Prime Minister to this country that he referred to 9/11 globalization in terms of keeping his plans back, Madam Speaker. And every time he referred to globalization, he showed you what he's going to do, Madam Speaker, to work hand in hand with the new trends that are taking place across this universe. That's what it is, Madam Speaker. You know, it's just a total different philosophy. A philosophy, Madam Speaker, a no-blessing philosophy, a philosophy that will allow for somebody who has a cutlass to excel. A philosophy, Madam Speaker, for someone here, that's what I was just coming to, thanks, who is strong in technology to excel. A philosophy for all. Distribution of wealth. And not only just the distribution of wealth he alluded to. You know, it's not just about distributing the wealth. You could see there is a deliberate attempt in the budget to create a little more equality. And I think that is where the last government went wrong. Because if you have an economy, Madam Speaker, if you have an economy and you have one sector suffering, listen to that clearly. That's where they fail. I kept on telling them all that all the time. If you have an economy and you have one sector suffering, because not because of globalization,
because of the management policies, Madam Speaker. You have one economy suffering, that's the banana industry. What are you going to do? A serious government. Are you going to allow that industry to decline to the extent that there is so much unemployment in the areas where the industry is specialized or is concentrated in? That those persons, and he spoke, you know, sometimes that's one thing I don't do, Madam Speaker. I don't ridicule persons when people are talking things of substance. You know, the Prime Minister spoke about a young child going to the beach, Madam Speaker. I understood clearly. It was no disrespect to anybody. That was so clear, and I understood clearly, Madam Speaker. Because what he was saying, in effect, was that if you're going to leave your children idle, if the youth is going to be unemployed, Madam Speaker, and which is what I'm referring to about the banana industry, if these persons are going to be unemployed, if these persons are going to be forgotten about by the government because of the government's economic policies, which is not reaching them, then naturally you're going to find the youth moving in a different direction, which is going to be counterproductive to this country. That's what he was saying in simple terms. And the reason why he was saying that is because he wanted to get the attention of the honorable members of the House as to the substance of his budget. The substance of the budget is to relieve the tension, especially in the areas, Madam Speaker, which were badly hit by the reduction in banana production and agriculture on the whole. That is the whole purpose. And that is why he spoke about distribution of wealth, and wealth being concentrated in one small area. And so now the budget is going to seek to expand the wealth. And not just expand, he spoke about zoning. I think he spoke about five zones. Five quadrants. Well, you could call it zoning, it's the same thing. Madam Speaker, he spoke about the five quadrants. I'll refer to the five quadrants. And what I understood it clearly. Because while he recognized that the wealth is concentrated in one area of this country, if you're Prime Minister with true vision, the next plan is to try to distribute the wealth. But you cannot distribute the wealth by just going and take money and bring it across like they did in the STEP program. You cannot do that. Oh my God, I really don't understand, Madam Speaker. You cannot just give away money, Madam Speaker. You must create the atmosphere, the environment for development, Mr. Speaker, and economic activities, which is what the Prime Minister is doing when he talks about building the road across there and the five quadrants. So once, what is happening there, Madam Speaker, is once you do that, these five quadrants, it means that everybody in this country, from Sucre to Grozile, from Beaufort to Denry, from Anslare to Miku, would have the opportunity, Madam Speaker, to be involved in some sort of meaningful economic activity. That is why he spoke about the five quadrants. And so, I don't know, I understood very clearly, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, I need to continue.
Honourable Member, you have 10 more minutes.
No,
you need to make a presentation.
Yeah, Yeah. Madam Speaker, I can recall when the United Workers Party government had introduced the rural electrification program. It brought about electricity to most of the communities in St. Lucia. But most, it brought electricity to Supra, Denry, to all 17 constituencies.
Oh my God. Anyway, let's continue, Madam Speaker.
Today, Madam Speaker, this very same government has agreed to introduce rural water development, which is expected to serve as a catalyst to spur economic activities in the various communities. This vision will not only bring an end to most of the water problems facing the South and the Denry North Basin, but it will ensure that the basic utilities of framework are available for any form of investment. So, Madam Speaker, I realize that my constituency is going to feel the impact of the current administration, because water has been a problem for the longest while in the Denry North Basin. The development of water, Madam Speaker, started with the current Prime Minister in the Denry North Basin, when a number of young persons and people in the community was fallen sick, Madam Speaker. And that was when the drive, a long time ago, Madam Speaker, to bring water to these, to the Denry North constituency started. Madam Speaker, it is expected clearly that while the development, the planned development for the area are taking place, that the water will be improved, the water situation will be improved by this current government. Not only, Madam Speaker, we realize that matters pertaining to water is not only about the storage, it's about the management of water. And so, Madam Speaker, we'll be taking a very close look, Madam Speaker, as to what is happening in areas like Olio in the constituency. There is a tank at Olio, Madam Speaker. Most times the tank is filled, but yet still the people do not receive water. So we know the problem with water is one that is complex, especially when it does not only involve just the storage of water. Denry, dear Madam Speaker, this is a serious problem. There is no tank in Denry River, and so the water goes directly from the river into the pipe. Two things are happening. When you have a lot of rain, no water. In the dry season, no water. So, Madam Speaker, I will be addressing the situation very, very quickly, and I will be writing to the Prime Minister so that he can really understand the problems we are facing in the Denry North constituency when pertaining to water. Madam Speaker, under the former administration, when I remember I spoke about the development to continue developing the preschools, the daycare centers and so on, because these are our young people, our young children, and we need to harness them. Even though they cannot vote, Madam Speaker, we need to put things in place so that they can enjoy an early school age, Madam Speaker, comfortably. But we are having problems in the Denry North Basin, Madam Speaker. There's an area called Gunrivia. And for the longest while, we are trying to get a preschool daycare center built. And that has not happened, Madam Speaker. So, Madam Speaker, pretty soon, Madam Speaker, I will again write to the government, to my government colleagues, to see if we can come up with a plan to develop
or to build the Gun Revere Daycare Preschool, Madam Speaker.
You know, Madam Speaker, there was so much tension around the preschool, the daycare center. You know, I felt very sorry because the children, they were moving one day, this week they were somewhere else, the following week they were crossing the road and in some place which is in the most deplorable situation. And I believe, as a serious government, we must understand that the kids are the future of tomorrow. Simple. And so we must take that into consideration. The families, Madam Speaker, I face a very serious problem, Madam Speaker, with the farm roads in my constituency. And I believe it wasn't deliberate, because it was clear that the policy of the former administration was that agriculture was a thing of, well, bananas and agriculture was more or less a thing of the past. So they did not concentrate on really developing the farm roads. Madam Speaker, sometimes I take my barrow too to assist the farmers. And so I'm hoping, Madam Speaker, I realize my colleague across the styling, I'm hoping, Madam Speaker, that I could get assistance from the Ministry of Communications to assist in the development of this road. I can recall in this very same house, when I realized I wasn't getting the proper assistance for the farm roads, I just asked for about 300 bags of cement so that we could have done our own kudne. I still didn't get the assistance, Madam Speaker. But as I told you, I don't think it was deliberate. I think it was the policy of the government did not emphasize on the development of agriculture. But this government, Madam Speaker, will emphasize on the development of agriculture. And you know the constituency I represent, Madam Speaker. If there's an emphasis on agriculture, then definitely, Madam Speaker, the people of the Mabuya Valley will realize economic prosperity. I thank you, Madam Speaker.